Are you a beginner gardener that's gearing up to start your garden this spring? Do you want to grow more food for your family this year without the frustration? If that's you, you're in luck. Today is part two of our four-part mini-series, diving into the ins and outs of how to get your garden off to the right start this spring. Today, we'll be talking about preparing your garden space, from choosing the location to evaluating your soil and deciding if your garden needs any extra protections. Whether you're just starting your garden this year or you have a few seasons under your belt already, there are some awesome tips here for everyone. Hey Mama, welcome to the Farm Family Table, where you can find encouragement and practical tips for living the healthy homesteading life that God is calling you to. Hi, I'm Jocelyn, farm wife and mom of two littles. I know that you want to provide the best food for your family while being more self-reliant. And I believe there's a way to start homesteading with less stress, more joy, and more time focusing on what matters most, faith and family. Want to learn how? Join me as we build our homesteads together. So pop in those earbuds and start that load of laundry because we're about to dive in. Hey ladies, I am so excited to help you get your space garden ready today. But before we dive in, I want to tell you about an awesome resource that I created for you to help you get started in your gardening journey. Over in our store, you can find the ultimate garden planner for growing your own food. This planner is everything you need to get started gardening, from planning how much food to grow, deciding your garden layout, quick guides on companion planting and starting seeds, record-keeping pages to document plant yields and health, a food inventory, and monthly and weekly planner templates to keep you on track. Seriously, there is so much stuff packed into this planner. And the best part? It's a printable PDF, so you can make copies over and over again to use each garden season. I recommend just storing the pages in a binder, and then you have an amazing log of your garden to look back on each year. If you're just starting out, this is the perfect system to get you organized and on track for a successful gardening season. Go ahead and check it out. It's available right now in our shop. You can find the link in the show notes. So today we're discussing part two in our beginner garden series, all about planning your garden space. If you haven't listened to part one, I would encourage you to go back and listen to that episode. It's all about the tools you need to get started, including buying seeds. So there's a lot of really helpful stuff in there, and I would recommend listening to that one before this episode. A lot of people think gardening is really expensive to get into, but if you stick to the basics, you can absolutely get started gardening without breaking the bank. It doesn't have to be complicated or expensive. You should really be able to get what you need for under $200. Now, the exception to that is if you have to start looking at building projects. Things like adding raised beds, hauling soil, building fences, those things are going to add a lot of expense to your garden startup. But I'm going to challenge you to think about if those are things you actually need to get started, or if you can feel it out for a year or two and then decide if you need to be adding some of those types of projects. So we're going to be talking about what else you may or may not need in your garden space. And we're also going to talk about how you can choose the best location for your garden in your yard so that your garden will absolutely thrive this summer. So I want to talk about garden location first. Things you should look for in an ideal location to put your garden on your property. I have four things that we're going to cover. Number one is full sun. Most vegetables love sun. And they're just not going to do as well if they're in a partially shaded environment. Leafy crops like lettuce, spinach, and herbs, those will do okay. They can do fairly well in shade. But if you want to have a successful garden where you're growing lots of other types of veggies, you're going to want to go with a space that has lots of sunlight, even if it's not your favorite location in your yard to plant a garden. Full sun is really important, and I would put that pretty high on your priority list when you're looking at a spot for your garden. Number two, the second thing you're going to look for is well-drained soil. So you want to make sure the ground is gently sloped in a way that water can flow away and it's not going to create large pools in the garden when it rains. Yes, your plants love water, but if there's too much of it, it is actually going to hinder your plants. It can make them more susceptible to rot, disease, and it's just hard on the plant systems because they can't take in that much water. All right, the third thing you should look for when you're looking for a good garden location is close to a water source. So the ideal situation would be to get it close enough to either a spigot or a hydrant that you can connect a hose. Otherwise, you're gonna have to haul water in buckets, which gets old really fast if you have a hot, dry summer and you're having to do a lot of watering. So if you can get it somewhere where you have that hookup with a hose, it's so much easier. But I would say definitely prioritize full sun over being close to a water source. I know it's a pain to haul water, but there are things you can do to make that a little bit easier if that's your situation. And like I said, full sun is really your best bet that your garden is going to thrive. And number four, the last thing that you're going to evaluate is if you have good soil. And we're going to talk about this quite a bit in depth because you may or may not have a space in your yard with optimal soil, but there are things we can do to fix that if we need to. So soil is super important. It has the nutrients and the moisture that your plants need to grow. So we're going to talk a lot about soil. First, I want to explain what actually makes good soil. So the two biggest things with soil are drainage and nutrients. You want soil that has good water retention, meaning that it does not drain too quickly, like if it's really sandy, or have poor drainage where there might be water standing. That would be if the soil was mostly clay. Good soil will contain a mixture of sand, clay, and silt. Silt is kind of an in-between between sand and clay. If you have mostly sand or mostly clay, you'll probably want to blend it off or add a better quality topsoil. And I'm talking about if it's mostly sand or clay, where it's actually going to be a problem. So how do you know if you have sand or clay? First, check the drainage of the soil. After it rains, notice if the soil seems to dry up really quickly. That would be an indicator that the soil is sandy, or if there's water that just stands and pools on top for a period of time after, that's an indicator that there might be a lot of clay in the soil. You can also dig up a little bit of soil and feel the consistency. Does it feel like sand, like you'd find it in a sandbox? Does it have large clods or clumps that don't break apart easily? That would be signs of clay. Optimally, it should be fairly dark. It should be a little bit moist and crumble easily in your hand. That would be an indicator that there's a good mixture of clay, sand, and silt in there. One good way to evaluate how good the soil is to evaluate the plants that are already growing in that area. So look around, is there grass or flowers or other plants that are flourishing there? You can even pull up a few plants or weeds and check the root systems. If the roots are really robust, if they have sturdy roots, they're well branched out, that means that plant was doing really well in that soil. That's a pretty good indicator that your garden would do well there too. Okay, so what do you do if you find out that you do not have good soil? Whether because it has poor drainage or because things just aren't really growing there, it seems like it's maybe lacking some nutrients. Raised beds are an option, but they are an expensive one. I know raised beds are really popular right now, and there are a lot of advantages to raised beds, so I'm not going to totally knock them, but it's also not the best budget-friendly option. If you have the money, they do offer benefits like better drainage. You can have less weeds because you're not using soil with weed seeds in it. Better nutrients in the soil. They can be more effective at keeping out pests. You don't have to bend down as far to take care of it. So there's some really good things that you can have with raised beds. But if you want to have a sizable garden, there's also going to be a pretty big price tag to getting that set up. What I would recommend which is a cheaper and less labor-intensive alternative, would be to haul in topsoil and just add some additional nutrients in for your plants. Compost is excellent to mix into topsoil. A lot of garden centers will have good quality compost that you can actually purchase in bulk. You can do what people have been doing for thousands of years, which is add manure to the soil. Most manure from small plant-eating animals should be fine to mix into your soil. Rabbits, sheep, goats, chickens, as long as it's evenly mixed into the soil, it's perfectly safe to use and it can add a lot of nutrients for your plants. The biggest thing with manure is you absolutely do not want to add manure from animals like cats or dogs or any animals that are meat eating because their digestive tracts could contain parasites. And obviously we don't want that in our gardens. So you can check with a local farmer. Chances are you'll be able to get it for free or really cheap. Another option is purchasing organic or synthetic fertilizers and distributing those into the soil. If you purchase fertilizer from a garden center, that's probably not going to be the cheapest option, but your plants will be getting good quality nutrients in the soil. One tip I have for you, if you are in the rural Midwest, and if you don't mind using synthetic fertilizers, you can actually go to a commercial agriculture fertilizer retailer and they can give you fertilizer for free. What this is fertilizer that was mixed for use in commercial agriculture, but for whatever reason, the order wasn't quite right. It doesn't mean that the fertilizer is not safe to use. It just means that it wasn't the right blend for what that farmer was hoping to purchase. So they put all of that aside in a bin as pretty much waste. So you can go and get a coffee can of pretty high quality fertilizer literally for free. So that's something to check into. Again, it's going to be synthetic fertilizers. I'm not going to get into all the pros and cons of that because I know that's a whole nother topic that can be pretty controversial. But if you are looking to improve your soil on the cheap, that is definitely a good option to look into. So the bottom line is, when it comes to your soil, really evaluate how much money you're willing to spend on your soil and go from there. If your budget is tight and your soil seems okay, even if it's not optimal, I'd just try it for a year and see how it does. I'd say 9 times out of 10, you do not need to build expensive raised beds or do massive projects hauling in topsoil. After one season, you can evaluate if there's things that don't grow well. Maybe get your soil tested and see what you need to add to the soil to improve it. Usually your state university extension will do soil testing for pretty cheap. We're talking like $15 to $30. Then once you get the results of that, you can always add soil, compost, fertilizer, any of those things next planting season if you really feel like it needs those improvements. The last thing I want you to do is, as a beginner gardener, just starting out, just building your garden spot, do a massive project that costs a lot of money when really you could have just used the soil you had there already. Okay, so you've thought of the location for your garden, you have a plan for your soil. We're going to cover one more thing, which is talking about fencing. So I see a lot of gardens with little white picket fences. It's adorable. But guess what? You don't need it. A picket fence is pretty much for looks only. There really isn't any animal I can think of that a picket fence would keep out. They can either jump over, squeeze through, climb. It's just pointless. So if you have actual concerns about animals getting into your garden, you're going to need something better. Probably the most effective solution for the price would be to use steel posts with mesh plastic or chicken wire wrapped around the outside of the posts. If you have skunks, gophers, rabbits, deer, this type of fencing can be effective for all those animals. Now there are some things you're going to have to modify based on the animals. So skunks and gophers will dig So you'll want to make sure that that chicken wire goes at least a foot underground in case they try and dig under the fence. If you have deer that come into your yard, you'll need at least a 6-foot tall fence. Anything less than that, the deer will just jump over it and jump right into your garden. But before you go out and spend money on fencing, really evaluate if these animals are a problem and if you really need it. If you don't have deer, rabbits, gophers, or other animals hanging out in your yard regularly, it's probably not a big enough issue for you to justify buying fencing. You can also purchase repellents, like little pellets you can shake onto your garden, or you can use scare objects like the classic scarecrow or other predator decoys. We have a pretty large garden space that would be really impractical to fence in. So if that's your situation, I would recommend using scare objects and just planting a little bit extra, knowing that you're probably going to have small loss to pests. So the big takeaway that I want you to have after listening to this episode is to find a good location in your yard for your garden bed. Full sun would be ideal. Maybe buy a little bit of fertilizer to mix into the soil. Then just go for it. Skip the fancy raised beds, fences, and big ticket items for now. Once you get through your first or second garden season, you'll have a much better picture of what you actually need, and you can avoid spending a lot of money unnecessarily. I'm a big advocate for starting small, taking manageable steps, and improving and doing a little bit more each year versus just doing a massive project up front when you really don't know what exactly you need or really what you're doing, because we learn along the way. Okay, ladies, I hope today's episode was helpful in figuring out the best place to plant your garden and that it encouraged you that you can start small with minimal setup. Next week, we'll be diving into planning what is going into your garden and where. You are not going to want to miss this episode. There is so much that's going to be packed into it. Thank you so much for listening today, and we'll see you next week. I hope you loved today's episode. I pray that you leave this episode encouraged in Christ and equipped with practical knowledge for your homestead. If that's you, will you take 30 seconds right now to leave a written review on Apple Podcasts? Your review blesses me so much and helps other mamas find this podcast and start their homesteading journey. Thanks for joining me. I can't wait to talk to you next week.